Even with Congress out of town, the clock is ticking to figure out a budget plan for the rest of the fiscal year by December 11th. That's when the continuing resolution that's in place now runs out. Katie Maddox is government affairs representative at the Federal Managers Association. She says the CR is the biggest source of tension among her members. I understand that tension, of course, Katie, but it would think at this point in time, because we've been operating under CRs, unfortunately, since like the Grover Cleveland administration, the second one, not the first one, that we might be used to the CR tension by now. I guess that's not the case, huh?
I really don't think it's something that we should get used to. Our members should not have to get used to having a budget that is never fully definite. They need to know exactly what money that they're dealing with so they can plan out what projects they can do, when they can do it, and making sure that they're fully addressing their congressionally mandated missions and goals.
Now, my sense is that there is at least some conversation on the Hill about actually getting appropriated bills. Maybe it'll be an omnibus, maybe it won't be individual bills, but getting out of the CR habit from the December 12th to September 30th timeframe for the rest of the fiscal year. Do you have any sense of what you're hearing on the Hill, whether that's the case or whether we're up for more CR business?
I honestly think it depends on what's going to happen in November. The latest rumor that I've heard is that if the Senate stays with the Dems, we might be looking at another CR. If the Senate goes Republican, most likely an omnibus would happen during the lame duck. That's the rumor that I've heard, but I don't think it's any way that we should be funding the government. We shouldn't be playing politics with it.
Well, I think pretty much everybody agrees with you, including the leaders in Congress. They just can't seem to hash out how to get around that. Let's handicap this a little bit, though, by taking the political element out of it. If we have a CR for the rest of the year, that strikes me as far less desirable than an omnibus. Of course, isn't the ultimate desirable goal. The ultimate desirable goal would have been full year, fully appropriated bills. But short of that, the omnibus seems like the best situation for where we are today.
I agree. It's, you know, not pie in the sky, what everyone wants, but it might be the best thing that we have.
The good news that I see in all of this discussion is the pay raise, although it's smaller than I think a lot of federal employees would like, and certainly I know less than you and your colleagues at FMA were pushing for, but the pay raise of 1% will take effect January 1st unless Congress specifically does something to get rid of it. And I hear no buzz at all that anybody is inclined to do that. Have you heard anything to the contrary of that, Katie?
We're really excited that everyone has been quiet on it. Unfortunately, it is one of those things that people are quiet on. They're not saying these are what the federal workers are doing for us. This is what federal managers do. I know our members are very dedicated American citizens, and they work very hard for their communities, and it's too bad that their pay is not reflective of that.
Well, yes, I agree with you on all of those things, especially, I get blown away by the Service to America medals every year and seeing the work there that people do. And on the one hand, yes, you're right. On the other hand, 1% is better than 0% as it was for so long.
That's true, too. That's true, too. I know everyone took, such a hit with the 3-year pay freeze. It was really devastating, people living paycheck to paycheck, but people are still living paycheck to paycheck. And it's like one of those things, I don't know what to say. Yes, 1% is better than 0%, but it also doesn't fully reflect, what the federal workforce is worth.
Once we get beyond whatever happens to fiscal 15, the problem that I see as we try to look forward a little bit, Katie, is we get back into the situation that we were in before the Bipartisan Budget Act, where the sequestration legislation takes effect again because they pushed it out 2 years. So and all of that stuff comes back on our radar screen. And I fear that we'll get a deal done in December, because it doesn't sound like there's anybody that's interested in shutting the government down again. And then we'll get back onto this hamster wheel, just spinning and spinning and spinning about, is there going to be a shutdown and blah, 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 blah.
Right. And it's one of those things, like, you can't constantly kick this down the road.
Yeah.
It's something that we're going to have to deal with, that we're going to have to come to a resolution on, and hopefully that'll happen. Hopefully we'll have some really thoughtful conversations about how to appropriately deal with sequestration, making sure that cuts are not devastating to the federal workforce, people can do their jobs, Americans can get, you know, services that they depend upon, and it's just not one of those things that is just constantly ignored.
Are there other things, Katie, that your members are talking about, or is the CR right now, or whatever happens for the rest of fiscal 15 kind of sucking all the oxygen out of the room?
CR is really on the minds of everyone, just at the end of the year. The other thing we're talking about is have to pass bill with the NDAA. I know the Senate is still working on theirs, you know, and what FMA is really hopeful for is that our Wounded Warrior Federal Leave Act, which was passed by House Committee, will be included in the Senate bill. And then when the House and Senate bills go for conference, it'll be that bill will be added in the final draft.
Why is that so important to you, Katie?
It's important to me because I think every federal worker should get the sick leave that they deserve. The Wounded Warrior Federal Leave Act targets first-year feds who rank under the Department of Veterans Affairs as 30% disabled or more, and it just gives them extra leave. As a first-year Fed, you don't come in with any sick leave. If you haven't used any within your first year, you accrue 104 hours. But honestly, that's not a lot for those who come in with chronic problems and need to see, you know, their VA doctors on a regular basis and are, you know, dealing with major medical concerns. So it's just good legislation. It's a small bill that will do a lot of good.
If I recall my conversation with your colleague, Greg Stanford, the problem there is that a lot of vets come into government, and we've seen that the government has hired a lot of veterans in the last several years, but they come in and need to go, especially if they're, as you mentioned, at higher levels of disability. They need a lot more medical attention, have a lot more appointments than the average person just walking down the street. And so that they're not able to fit all of those appointments around what little leave they get to start.
Right. I know we had some folks saying that they had a employee under them who was taking about, I think, 30 hours of sick leave within their first 3 months of employment.
Wow.
So if you just do the simple math on that, that's 120 hours within their first year. So they're already over their 104 allotment. So we're just hoping that this gives them some leeway. You know, we want to make sure that the federal government is the model employer. And like you said, federal government hires a lot of veterans, and we just want to make sure that we're taking care of our employees.